Hey guys, Alex here. Last time I'm going to plug my Melbourne International Comedy show. It finishes up this week. It goes until the 20th and then it's done. And after that, I am doing a Sydney Comedy Festival show. That's not until the 18th and 19th of May. So plenty of time for that one. So please start getting around that one as well. And but you can buy tickets at go to my website, alexwhitecomedy.com, and there's links there pointing to wherever you want to go. And subscribe to the Patreon, Instagram for Community Notice Board Pod, and you can get links to the Patreon, or you can do it through Spotify as well. You guys are the best. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Hello and welcome along to the Community Notice Board.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Community Notice Board, a podcast about suburbs we grew up in, local landmarks, hometown heroes, and coming-of-age tales. Oh, baby, it's Eurotrip Part 2. Scotty does not know, and we have one of our favorite guests in the studio, renowned grub, and doing a show at Sydney Comedy Festival, Andrew Deficit Hastings Disorder.
Hey, you got it.
Yeah, I had to think about the words for a second. Mm-hmm. Andrew Hastings is in the studio.
One of your favorite European Lotharios. European.
Gigolos. Yeah.
Making my way
Andrew
across.
Andrew Hastings, European gigolo.
The great continent of. I did not sleep with anyone in Europe. Let's get ahead of that.
let's talk about, like, what. Because most people go to. What age were you when you did this trip in Europe?
I went to Europe when I was pretty freshly 20 years old.
Yeah, so around this time, a lot of Australians gone to Europe. They're doing the London thing. They're going with the boys.
Backpacking.
You went with the ultimate boy.
The number one boy.
Your dad.
Papa Hastos.
Yeah. Man. So tell us about that. Like, where did
you at any point think that that was like a weird thing at the time? Or were you like, fuck yeah,
that's
I
what
dad.
I want to know, the genesis.
Okay, no, it's a good story. So my dad's only 17 years older than me. Is like important here. Yeah. So I'm 20. He's like your age now.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. Like he's just, you know, he's not even 40.
Imagine having a 20-year-old Hastings right now.
Dude, it's crazy.
Oh my God.
One time.
If I'm right now, Amy's messaging me like a Hastings at home acting up, texting people, he's reciting the latest show he's doing. I'd be like, oh God, I'm needed at home.
Oh, yeah, God. No, it was. Yeah, so I was about 20. And
your dad was not with your mum at this point.
No, right? My parents single? Have never really been together.
But he's single is what I mean.
At the sort time. Of.
Oh, are you saying that he was zero trip, he might have had a whole pass?
His wife didn't go to Europe with him.
Okay.
He went and lived in Europe for a couple of years by himself. A little break, I think, is what was going on.
Wait, so when you say he went and lived in Europe a couple of years by himself...
He was separated from his wife.
Yeah, yeah, sure. But what I'm saying is, like, you do the trip, and he's like, I might just stay here, like, take in the local colour.
No, he moved there, so he moved to England when I was a kid. For like a couple of years and came back. And then when I was freshly an adult, it's every 10 years, I think he decides he has to, because he just did it again recently.
Well, so he just absconds for a bit.
Yeah, he just goes. Yeah, he likes it there. He's got like.
And like, how long
does
he
go? There's
some
visa thing where he's able to do it.
Maybe as a passport.
I think he's like, because his grandfather was British or something. Anyway, yeah, he was just over this. He was already living there. And I had my first, like, big major breakup when I was, like, 19. I was, like, living with my girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. I assume you were pretty emo about all that. Right? That was a lot of emotional
2009.
Did you have black... You had the black hair in 2009.
Oh, yeah, big time. Yeah, I'm fully emoed out at this point. I'm full lip piercing, stretched ears, whole
Oh, God, you have those beautiful hogs in.
Yeah. my sweet pegs in.
Yeah. You had them, didn't you, at some point?
Yeah, when I was 15, I got rid of them because I got a job in a kitchen. And
how big did you go?
I think it was like 1.5, 1.8.
Shit, that's
like
pretty solid. I was 1.6. Yeah, pretty good.
I'm about like 5. We're talking about
penis size.
Yeah.
I'm 1.6 inches.
Yeah. So your emo is fuck.
I'm emo as fuck. And so my uncle, he reaches out to me and goes, I'm doing a trip to, I do an annual trip to France where I go live in my mate's apartment for a month in France.
Your uncle is also just another Hastings who's like, I do sick trips.
We
drink some beers. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he's a mad guy. Yeah.
What an insane life. I love this life.
He was a gay man, so he didn't have like kids or like like a right. long-term partner. I guess a gay guy could have a long-term partner. Yeah. He was like
he was a typical gay man sex freak who just not settled down with anybody.
He was like a gay dude in his 40s. Yeah. So he would, and, you know, good job and stuff. So he got to, but one of his little treats was every year he'd go to France, live in his mate's apartment who would go somewhere else. And he was like, why don't you come with me? Use Paris as your base and you can go do like a Kentucky tour.
Beautiful.
And I was like, that's a perfect way to get over the breakup. So I start like making plans for this Europe trip. And I was like, yeah, I'll pop in and see my dad while I'm there.
And he's where?
He's in Essex. He's living in Essex. He'd been living there about a year at this point.
Gotcha.
I was like, pop in, see my father. Then very suddenly my uncle died. Pretty wild. Yeah. So, stomach cancer. But it like happened super duper quick. And so within like 6 months that he was dead. Like, so I was like, well, I was going to go to fucking Europe.
Well, that's a bummer.
And now I'm bummed out about the breakup and my dead uncle. Yeah. So my dad's like, all right, I'll pay for, I think he was like, I'll pay for like half your flights or something. And my mom gave me some money and I took out a loan and a bit and like, you know, I went over. And so, yeah, I was 20. My dad was in his late 30s. And the plan was to do, like, I think 3 or 4 weeks staying with him in Essex with the idea of getting the train into London every day. I was going to do London stuff. And then another month, it was probably about a month, just checking out different European cities and doing a little, yeah, backpacking Euro trip with my dad. I had a mate there with me as well. But, she was there.
So you brought a mate.
I brought a mate.
You and your dad.
Yep. Three of us hung out.
And your dad's just like, did you get like matching t-shirts, like the Three Musketeers or?
We got a lot of, we did get tattoos over there. And
matching?
Yeah, but I've got mine covered up since.
What is that?
It was just a little gum leaf on my wrist, but I got it covered up with my ghost tattoo.
So did your dad ever see the ghost and he's like, whatever happened?
He didn't get a tattoo. It was me and my mate who got the tattoo. My dad already had
your dad being like, I thought we were bros. You're like, you're my father.
My dad does have dumb tattoos. He's got AHSJ and I love heart on his chest, which is my initials and my sister's initials.
What a dumbo.
But his dad saw him. He lied to his parents about getting him, and his dad saw him with his shirt off once and was like, what's that? And he was like, Allambie Heights Soccer Juniors. He said it was like a rub-on tattoo for a Lambie.
Be like, it's Andrew Hastings, my son.
No chance, dog.
He's a junior soccer team. That's fine.
Yeah.
As an adult. He
said it was a rub-on for his junior soccer team.
Oh.
So, yeah, we did.
Just don't press that one again.
No, it's good. It was worth it.
We did a lot of time in Essex, a bit of time in London, Paris, Bruges, Amsterdam, Munich. I think was it, yeah.
Mm.
And so we can go city by city if you like.
And so were you are you doing like classic Eurotrip style? Like you're all 3 of you in hostels
for about half of it. Yeah, so I'm in a hostel bunk bed with my dad at several points in this trip.
And you use bottom bunk or top bunk with your dad?
I was top bunk, but only I think because he's bigger than me and it would have felt unweighted.
Yeah, so when it's rocking up the top.
Yeah, well,
people know that you were, because he's only mid 30s, you're 20.
Yeah.
Was it obvious your father and son, or you could have just been mates?
We've been mistaken for brothers a fair bit in our time. Mm. And that happened a couple times over there. What was weird was all the middle age, like, I don't think a woman looked at me the entire trip. there was like nothing like that on the trip.
Dad right there.
Even the red light brothels are just like, oh, I don't
know. There were these two middle-aged women in this fucking pub in Bruges who I swear to God were trying to root my dad. It was horrific to see.
They're both trying
there was to also root. This like, man, there was this like British woman who was trying to root my dad. It was fucked up.
Man, you're getting cut.
Are you wingmaning like him? You're cock-blocking him?
I'm kind of pretending it's not happening, I think. But none of that wasn't so much in the bunk beds. That was more in his apartment in England. But yeah, England was pretty, he's like a degenerate, obviously. Like he's pretty similar to myself in a lot of ways. But
apple bong doesn't fall far from the show.
Exactly, yeah. We do take a trip to Amsterdam. Yeah. But yeah, it's he's also like the ways in what that we're different is like he's like very he can be very like type A personality. Like he's like really into like planning and like he's always on time. He gets up early.
Okay.
But he's just like let's get it. So he's thinking.
So Hastings, how late were you for this podcast?
Hey, 20 minutes late. I'm saying this is how we are not.
That's right.
I was 20 minutes late to this podcast, which I think exceeded expectations. I think you guys were expecting worse.
we were talking about cancelling portions of the episode. Yeah.
But he's on time.
He's on time. He's a plan. And he's also like a history teacher. So he was very, and he was also very aware, I think, that like, I didn't give a shit about seeing the Eiffel Tower. I didn't give a shit. I just wanted to like go to the pub, hang out.
You want to do your own Eiffel Tower with your dog?
Nice.
Exactly. I'll give you that one. Very good. But yeah, he's also like, I can't, you know, he's faced accusations in his time that he's maybe not a great father. Okay. So he's there being like, I can't take my youth son to Europe and him not see the fucking Eiffel Tower.
He's going to see a couple of sites, maybe take a couple of museums before we just spend our whole time at like Luck of the Irish pub.
Exactly. Swear to God, exactly. Yeah. So the way he handled that, and it's a weird like combination of he's got that like let's go to the pub thing as me, but not the like we'll get there when we get there thing that I have. So his thing was every
That's what you call it. We'll get there when we get there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking... So every day, we'd wake up at 6 a.m. Every single day of this fucking trip, we would wake up at 6 a.m. No matter how hungover we were, no matter how late we'd been. Go see sights till about 10:30. And he was, like, so meticulous with it. And he'd done this trip before with other family members, I think. Other children of his, maybe. I'm not sure.
He's just a, like, tour guide his own.
He was complaining about how...
He has 36 children. They all have the initials AH and SJ. So he can just be like, yeah, baby, love ya.
He was talking about how he had to like tour guide his like sister and brother-in-law. Like, and he was like, "Don't worry, I've already done this trip." So his thing was like, "I know the best way to do it all." He's like, he really likes to like his favorite thing is like when a plan comes together. Mm-hmm. Like, I was thinking about this the other day when I was thinking about the Europe trip. Is like, I reckon 50% of all the conversations we have to this day are him just telling me about a plan he had. And how it came through.
Yeah.
And it'll be like, we got to the cricket early to get parking. Hey, so they told me I couldn't.
How unorganized is your mum? Because this doesn't make sense that you could be born from this man.
She's a very unorganized lady.
Is she?
It wasn't like two
organized people made a Hastings.
100%.
Which I'd never would have. I've met your mum. She's
She's also like very sensible. She shows up when she shows up. Gotcha. She's a bit messy.
Okay.
I just thought
that your dad would have been, you know.
Truly, I've received the worst parts of both of them. It's every quality that you would describe as a fault of mine. It comes from the opposite parent you would expect, but it does come from them.
gotcha.
Yeah. Okay.
So he's
like 6 a.m. every day. So it's like his thing was like, you know, using like Paris as an example. The whole night before, it'd be like, the Eiffel Tower sucks. The Eiffel Tower is boring. So what we're going to do, 6 a.m., it opens at 6:01. We're going to get there straight up and down Eiffel Tower, 40 minutes, done. Then we're going straight over to the Arc de Triomphe because then the Uber gets that way and we've got the bus there and the whatever. Like, you know, he plans out the route and the day for maximum efficiency.
I like this.
It was great in that I got to the pub quickly. I was also exhausted.
I mean, like, that's not just a Hastings thing. Like, that is a 20-year-old where you're just like, oh, God, Mona Lisa is really pretty small, huh? I wish I was drinking an Amstel
right now. It's also because he's not, like, someone who's particularly like, you have to see the Mona Lisa for its appreciation. He's like,
the Mona Lisa.
He's like, you got to get a photo at the Louvre so that you can be like, I went to the fucking Louvre, your checklist. So his Louvre was a great example. He was like, best way to do the Louvre, don't go in.
Do it outside.
He was just like, just go outside, get a photo on that glass pyramid thing, leave.
Right. I mean, that's actually kind of cool.
Like, he wasn't.
Yeah, if you're not
wrong
about
anything
that's in there, then of course you go there, you get your snapshot.
Well,
you got the memories.
20-year-old Hastings.
I like art. Like, I would have liked to have seen it.
If I went to fucking Louvre in Paris, right? If I went there,
I've been to Paris like a number of times. I don't think I've ever been to Louvre.
Yeah. But I go to the Art Gallery in Melbourne. Do you know what I mean? Like, I didn't go to the Art Gallery in fucking Paris.
Yeah, there is something about that, I think, where it's like, if you're in, you got to see what beer tastes like in these foreign countries.
Yeah. Yeah. I did plenty of that.
I'm certainly not.
Like, what does
go...
a hamburger taste like in Paris?
But I'm not going to go to something just to get in line to say I saw it. Like, I couldn't.
Yeah, there's probably a middle ground we could have tread with that logic. We just went super hard on, like, literally 6 a.m. every day seeing a new, like, monumental global site.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like, Paris I hated because it was, like, cold or whatever. England was pretty fun. Most of the crazy shit happened in Amsterdam. Okay. We can get into that.
Yeah,
let's go. And you've had some Amsterdam stories too.
Me and Drew went to the same sex show years apart. Yep. We've told that story on the Cam James episode, I think. True. And
have you been to Amsterdam?
Sorry, by years I mean feet. Yeah. We were sitting a foot apart from each other. Yeah.
But we were years away in terms of emotional detachment.
I did see that Amsterdam recently came out with a tourist campaign that's basically
don't be a dickhead.
It's like don't come.
Yeah.
It's targeted to louts.
Yeah.
And it's not like as a cheeky I don't know, reverse psychology. Literally, and it's a targeted ad campaign. If people type in Amsterdam Bucks or Stag, it's just like, don't come. We don't want you.
It's like the Australian like ads they put up in Indonesia to stop refugees. You will not be settled.
You will not be settled. Yeah.
You will not get pussy in Amsterdam. You will not get pussy.
You're not welcome. And there was like mixed reports whether it was helping or not. But the locals are just so sick of tourists.
Dude.
That type of tourist that they are they're like, this is the first ever. Where it's like a country who are like advertising against tourism.
Yeah.
A city, right? Like other places will do like fees and, you know what I mean? A cleaning fee and stuff like a tax or whatever to sort of recoup of damage and stuff. But they're just like, no, we don't want you people here anymore. Yeah. But was that when you guys went, because I imagine it's so close to England, like a stag do is probably the biggest problem, right? It's not like a 20-year-old Hastings and his dad causing crazy damage.
Yeah, I mean, like there is like a lot, because it's an hour flight from England, you'll get a lot of British people being like, oh, we're going to try a space cake and stuff like that. And like, you know, it happens with Australians too. Like when I lived there, I mean, you don't see that when you live there, you know, because like you're not, the same way, like, you're not in Sydney CBD every week.
Yeah, you're not hanging out of the rocks looking at the...
You know, you'd go to Amsterdam because you'd be like, oh, the good shops are there. Or, like, there's a movie theater that has, like, an extra two things. Also, like, I'm 11, so
you're
I'm not...
Going
not
at
10 so I'm not like, man, who am I going to root here today? You know, it's like...
Counter perspective, first thing I saw when I saw in Amsterdam was an obnoxious British box party. It was the very first thing I saw.
Yeah.
And it was ripe. But I was in the... to Jamie's point. I was in the tourist weed shops and the tourist pubs. Also, the first part, I don't know why. Now that I think about it, the first pub we walked into straight off the plane was just the Dutch version of Hooters. I don't know why we were in there.
It was called Hootens. They're like, hello, want to see some breasts? They're huge.
You know, we're like box players, they dress up as cartoon characters. Yeah. It was awful to watch.
I mean, like in terms of British people as well, like you've got to remember that, like in Holland, like it's a huge. Like, apart from, obviously, Dutch people making up the majority, there is a huge expat community of, like, every culture.
Yeah.
Like, it's a real melting pot in international schools. So, like, your Amsterdam or your Hague will have, like, large swaths of Europeans around already that, like, live there. And then I think the main thing was that, like, a while ago, there was, like, a pivot to, like, a hard right government as well.
Yeah.
Which kind of is at odds with its, like, this is legal, this is legal, you can come here and have a good time.
Well, that's half the appeal is all the legal drugs and very open prostitution, right?
It's set up for
and it's like,
debauchery.
I mean, you never, it's all, like, stuff, like, when you're a kid that you're, you're not sure, like, how much is real, but, like, the word in my school was, like, when you're, like, 12, that's the legal age you can, like, start fucking. When you're 14, that's the legal age you can, like, enter pubs.
Mm.
I'm not sure, like, if there's a limit of how much you can drink. But, like, I knew, like, when I left, I was 13, and then, like, you'd get emails from people, like, a year after being like, yeah, we're at the coffee shop, we're smoking weed and stuff.
So there's
like
a lot of 11-year-old boys going, I'd be fucking, but it's not legal right now.
Yeah.
The government is not letting me.
It does,
if
like,
Johnny Law could get its fucking boot off my neck, I would be up to it.
State,
you do find, like, it does lead to, like, growing up a little fast, like, for, like, a few people. Like, a lot of people in my school
going to the
ended up, like, really, experience. Like, flunked out and stuff. Like, I knew a guy who, like, he was a Russian guy, and his dad... almost certainly a criminal. He, like, he did, like, one too many things.
James seen too many action movies from the 80s. His dad's Russian. He's like, oh, he's a bad guy.
And he, like, did one too many bad things, and he got sent off to, like, a farm in Belarus.
Ooh,
and, like, another guy in my year who I used to be quite good friends with got expelled from the school for stealing a teacher's passport on a trip, and he ended up throwing it into the ocean because they're like, if you just hand it back anonymously, no one will say anything. But he was like, it's a trick, and just like threw it in the ocean, which is like several hundred pounds worth of damage. And
now he's on the front lines in Ukraine.
There so is like, but there's different, like, because that, you're 12 years old in Europe, you're going to pubs. In America, you can't go until you're 21. And then who ends up more normal? Like, I assume that it's probably bad for both. Like, you know, when, like, the Americans who, they just have, like, they start binge drinking when they're 20, so they don't even, they just snap into it instead of being 12, having a, whatever, 14, having a, slowly getting accustomed to alcohol. I don't know what's,
but again, like,
different people, different.
Again, I'm not sure. Like,
I also think the way we do it's normal. Like, of course, I think what we understand to be normal is going to be what seems normal to me.
Yeah, but I think we'd probably be in the middle, I guess, right? So that would just be the average. You're like, I don't know. You can't go into pubs until you're obviously 18, but you could probably drink a lot more.
It's
like
pretty normal to drink late
drink. Yeah, it's a lot. I think it's a lot easier in Australia to get alcohol under the age of 18 than it is in America to get alcohol under 21, like at 20.
Yes, I would agree.
If you're a 16-year-old asking a 22-year-old to buy you alcohol, that's a bit weird. You know what I mean? Like, that's too big an age gap.
They're way more serious.
And also at that point, like, your brother, you're, like, if you have an older brother, he's probably off at college in, like, a completely different state. Yeah. So it's not just being like, all right, I'll ask Mick, who's, oh, hey, Mick, grab us a couple of cruises. And he calls you a slur. And
so... With Amsterdam, we flew in the afternoon, and we go straight to this. We're like, we need a beer, so we go straight to the pub where it's, this Hooters thing, this really obnoxious British backpackers, whatever. And I'm like, I've like started smoking weed a bit at this age, but I wasn't like living the lifestyle I may be living today. Like, it was, I was pretty a bit fresh into it, but I'd fucked around a little. And but I was like real keen to like try this. And he was like, it's not going to be like, you know, I've smoked weed in Amsterdam. He doesn't smoke that much weed, my dad. And he's like, it's not going to be like it is in Australia. It's going to be like really strong. Like, just be careful. And I was like, don't worry about it. It's fine. And that day it was fine. Like, that, we just smoked a little bit, and I was so tired from the travel and just went to like sleep or whatever. But the next day we were up at 6 a.m. and the plan, the sort of the set out plan for the day was Anne Frank's house first thing in the morning, 6 a.m.
Get blazed, Anne Frank.
Well, let me tell you a story, Andrew Benz.
Back to Hooten's for lunch.
Yeah. So the plan was, you're so close to it. The plan was, and I'd bought weed the day before when we got the weed. Mm. And so I had more weed. And the plan was 6 a.m., Anne Frank's house, skip the lines, in and out.
Hot box in the attic.
Yeah, she would have been a believer. Let's get it all done. Get out, Heineken Brewery.
Nice,
like, start at 10:30,
I think. Definitely been there.
Yeah. And then he had a real scheme. I'll get to his scheme for the Heineken Brewery. But so what happened was, so 6 a.m., we're about to go to the Anne Frank house. We're waiting for, like, the Uber or whatever, like, the taxi, whatever the fuck it was, from our hotel. I get quite high in the 6 a.m. in the, like, Dutch car park. I'm Dutch car park.
The car park.
And we go in and we get to Anne Frank's house and we're so well. And he's like so on his like his shit. And I think his logic as well was like, Anne Frank's house is heavy, so we get that one out of the way and we balance it out with the fun of the Heineken Brewery. But I'm really high. And we get there and we're there about like 10, 15 minutes before it opens. And I'm like, I don't really want to line up. I'm going to go wander back by myself. I saw a hot dog cart like just opening. Yep. And so I'm real high and I'm real hungry. And I go back to the hot dog cart. I buy a hot dog. Turn around, but get lost on my way back to like Anne Frank's house. Freaking out. Like, I don't speak Dutch. Like, I don't know where I am. I'm really high. It's 7 in the morning. Eating a hot dog. So I like kind of like backtrack my steps back to the hot dog stand to try again. But by then I'd finished the hot dog, so I had to get a second hot dog. And then found my way to the Anne Frank house as I'm like finishing this hot dog. Second hot dog, yeah. And my mate and my dad are both like, you can't walk into the Anne Frank house eating a hot dog. It's incredibly disrespectful.
You got a foam finger on it. You're waving a pennant.
And also visibly high. Seven in the morning, 6 or 7 in the morning at this point. And so I'm like, so I smash down this hot dog real quick, and then I just do a tour of the Anne Frank house. It's this Dutch weed, and I'm way too high to process what's going on and the weight of it. And I'm like, oh, she's not that much younger than me, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I guess she's not that different. This is all very heavy, and it all, you know, whatever.
I wonder if there's a hot dog stand in here. But because there was
Frankfurt.
I wanted to have
a, I wanted that'd to have be a, great behind the bookcase.
Yeah,
I wanted to have a lie down in one of her little corners. Looked cozy. But yeah, because we were there so early, like his plans worked. Like we were in and out of that fucking Anne Frank house 40 minutes. Like it was so quick, in and out. No lines. It was just us and some Japanese tourists to ourselves. It's great. Head out. And it's like, yeah, so I guess it's pretty early in the morning, but it's like time to go to the Heineken Brewery. And so we go to the Heineken Brewery, and before we go in, my dad tells me his, like, scheme. Anyway, so here's what we do, right? Because he's done this tour so many times. And the whole day before, he kept talking about how this one and the Guinness one are the best breweries that you can do tours on. Yep. And I was like, but I don't drink Guinness. And he was like, yeah, but it's the amount you get for free is what's important here. And I was like, all right.
Smart.
So before we go in, he's like, all right, so here's the move. All right, I've done this tour 100 times. At the end of the tour, you're going to get a wristband with two tabs on it, and that's what you trade in for your free drinks, your two free drinks, two little middies of Heineken at the end. And I was like, that sounds great. And he's like, here's the thing, though. A lot of Japanese tourists come to these things. Mm-hmm. They do not like beer.
Me and your dad are on the same wavelength because I did the same shit when I did that tour.
Yeah. So if you just hang out in the weird little waiting room they put you in to finish these beers,
you can
just be like, well, if you're not going to use them, you can drink. So, like,
I mean, I've done that at gigs. It was ball specifically.
It was open mic
UTS.
Open mic comedy logic, but the rate at which new Japanese tourist comes in is higher than the rate you drink beers at. So you can theoretically do it infinitely.
Yeah.
They come in quicker than you can drink them. So we did the tour, and it's like, yeah, it's got a roller coaster. Like, it's got one of those fake roller coasters, and it's you do the tour, and you drink the fucking warm beer shit they make you drink, and it's all very boring.
I mean, how bored must these Japanese tourists be? They don't even like beer, just swarms.
It's very, like, colourful and bright, and there's a lot of Heineken logos everywhere, and it's very, like, there's, like, oh, it's the stuff for, like, the football sponsorship they do, and there's, like, it's like a little museum of Heineken you walk through. But it's, like, it's pretty fun and modern and stuff. A little roller coaster.
You get to pour your own.
Yeah. They teach you the proper way to pour.
Well, I'm sold, I'm just saying. But you know what I mean?
I mean, I was sold at Heineken Brewery.
Yeah. So I think we were in there for 3 hours in that waiting room just drinking like at least 8 or 9
beers. Your dad have like a technique to approach Japanese tourists?
Hi, so sorry. Are you going to be using that drink token? Oh, yeah, if that's okay. I would love. Thank you so much. Have a great day. Great.
And that worked. What a percentage of the time.
You would just see from their body language they didn't want it anyway. So all, like 100. Like,
wow. Right. So how many drink tokens do you reckon you ended up with?
We probably had 15 each on us by the end, but I would have used 8. There were middies as well, so 8 or 9 maybe. We were pretty lit up by the time we left the brewery. The rest of that day, I think we just did some canal shit. But the next day was the big like weed day.
On the calendar.
Yeah. We locked it in, and so I finished off the rest of the weed we had at the hotel. Like in the morning at 6 a.m. or whatever. And we were walking around. I can't remember. We were just looking at some sites, but I was really high. And I also wanted to try the cake because I'd heard like the cookies and the cakes or whatever. Yep. So I was like, I want to try some of this space cake. I was pretty hungry and I was 20 and stoned, a bit stupid. And so we got this cake and he's like, go really fucking slow with that. And I was like, don't worry, I got it. And so I eat like too much of the cake.
How much is too? I've never.
I probably ate half the cake, half
they
the whole cake.
A quarter.
Okay.
Yeah,
what are we talking? Like a little brownie?
About a brownie size.
Yeah, about a brownie. So I probably ate about half of it, and I could see through time. It was crazy. Yeah. So yeah, we did that. But he also had some. We were all a bit high, and he was like really worried that I was too high. But then he fell down the stairs.
silly old man. Yeah.
He was very high and he fell down the stairs. And as part of it, we were very hungry and kind of stumbling around Amsterdam. And we were there. We wanted to eat this fucking cake. Sorry, we ate this fucking cake. And we were getting hungry again. And I was like, how about let's just get some like hamburgers or some
hot
cheeseburgers
dogs.
Or a hot dog. Yeah, like a hot dog, whatever. Exactly. I was 20. I was eating a lot of hot dogs at this time. So we find like it's like, you know, it looks like a corner chicken shop similar to like whatever, but it was in like a train station and it looked like kind of shit. And I was like, oh man, I would love, do you guys have like chicken? I used to eat meat. And they were like, do you guys have chicken burgers? And they were like, no chicken, only ham. And I was very high, and I was like picturing a burger,
hamburger,
with a slice of ham on it.
Yeah,
right. You see what's happened here. So I didn't make that connection, and I go, what are you talking about? That sounds disgusting. And so I was like, no, thank you. I'll find something else. And then I had stepped back, and then my dad comes over, and he's like, I'll get one of them. And then 10 minutes later, my dad has this big, delicious hamburger.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the look of sadness on my face. Well, my father did not give me a bite of his hamburger.
You're like, wait a minute, hot dog? No, thank you.
What, are we in Korea?
Yeah, man. And then we were too high to be on the streets, so we went to back to the hotel and watched Bedtime Stories, the Adam Sandler Russell Brand movie.
I've not seen this.
Yeah, it's for children.
I've got a story that you'll love, Hastings, because it involves some of your passions. It involves an Amsterdam night out. This Daily Mail article. Scottish wrestler. 22, gets so drunk on a night out in Glasgow, he wakes up in Amsterdam and has no idea how he got there. Professional wrestler Dave McCallum, out drinking in Glasgow, he woke up the next day in Amsterdam after drunkenly booking flights. He also accidentally booked two separate hotels, leaving him completely penniless. So Scottish wrestler claims to have gotten so drunk a night out that he worked on Amsterdam. He goes by the name Ravy Davy. That's his wrestling name.
I'm going to go check out some of his work.
And he's heading for the bar in Glasgow where wrestlers were drinking ahead of the Insane Championship Wrestling Competition.
I do know ICW is a pretty big promotion. I actually do know that one.
Is that the one where they're like... It's like backyard wrestling.
No. You're thinking of the Insane Clown Posse.
Yes, of course. I often am.
There are backyard wrestling versions. But no, ICW is like a pretty big UK one, I think. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
So he was there. He was going to interview some of the stars of the competition for his Facebook page, but it all got out of hand before he knew it. He was thrown out of the club for being too drunk. From at this point, McCallum admits his memory fails him. His friends have informed him that door staff of the next club refused him entry, and so he went back home to get his ID, but for reasons that now fail him, while at home, McCallum booked a last-minute ticket to fly out to Amsterdam, his favourite city. I love Amsterdam. I lost my job a week ago. I think those combined with the booze just made me do it. However, while drunkenly organising accommodation, he booked two separate hotel rooms, so he had no more money in his bank account. And so he woke up in Amsterdam, completely hungover, complete blackout, couldn't remember anything. I don't know how he got through security or anything, but he claims he had no idea what happened or where he was. He thought he was still in Edinburgh, and he stepped out of the door of his hotel and saw trams running on the street, and he was like, what the fuck is going on here? So he finally returned home the next night after begging his sister to stump up the cash to get him home, but the flight wasn't available till the next day, so she had to also put him in another hotel for the evening, and he said, keen to not waste an evening in his favourite city. McCallum made the most of his time by visiting a few of the local attractions. And it's got a quote by him at the end. It says, she said the next flight was early tomorrow, so I told her to book me another hotel. And I went to a couple of cafes and a sex museum.
It'd be cool if he got so drunk there that he woke up in Glasgow with no recollection.
That's why it's like time travel. It's like
I went to the sex museum in Amsterdam with my dad. Yeah, it was kind of lame.
Yeah, it's like one of those. Every, I think, European city has kind of like a torture or museum where it's like, here are things, and it's just like usually like a bunch of mannequins with like a spike necklace around. Right. The sex museum is kind of like that.
Yeah.
The great thing is that you can pose with a penis that's like owl's height.
Do you reckon you can... I remember that. Do you reckon you can... Owl's penis height, yeah. Do you reckon you can hire a sex worker in the gift shop at the sex museum?
All right, press that second one.
Comedy's really hard.
Oh, I'm sorry. I tried to make something that is recognizably a joke.
True.
Fair enough.
I went to... The best museum I've ever been to is in New Orleans. They had a pharmacy museum, and it was like the history of pharmacy, and it had all this voodoo shit in it. And it was like real cool, because New Orleans has crazy old, beige
voodoo shit.
Voodoo weird. And like, it was just old, like, this is a... heroin for children, all this weird, cool pharmacy shit. That's it's fun. Fucking unreal. I was going there like, everyone, in those things, like, you got to go to this thing.
Yeah,
and I'm like, well, that doesn't sound too cool. I thought it'd just be like, the history of Panadol, but it fucking ruled. I loved it.
I went to a bunch of museums when I was over here. One of the ones I went to is this big French one. I can't remember what it's called, but it's like big, famous. It's a lot of really old, it's like a natural history museum, I think it is, but it's got a bunch of like, it's got a whale skeleton in it and stuff. But they had fetuses in jars. You could go look at like fucking whatever you fuck call it.
Human.
Yeah, like human fucking fetuses in jars. Yeah, and there was like heaps of like human skulls and shit. I went to the London Museum where all the stolen shit is. Checked all that stuff out. Pretty tight. Yeah, Museum of Sex. Went to Dachau, which was a kind of like a museum. That was horrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Haven't got anything for a comedy podcast on that one, sorry.
Got high at a hot dog.
Where's a hot dog
stick? I was quite hungover in Dachau because it was when I was in Munich and like we were drinking heavy in Munich. Like the beer was fucking sick in Munich. All the hanging out in beer halls and watching like Oompa bands and shit. Yeah, it was pretty fucking sick.
I almost guarantee that you went to the same one as me. Cause probably. Munich was like, I guess they have those famous, you know, like they've got the big park and they have the big long wooden benches and everybody sits out and it's lovely, you drink beers. And then when I went there, it was that night, they took us to this massive beer hall.
Yeah.
And the, so they have the Oompa band, they have the big steins, you eat the pork knuckle.
Yeah.
But like the best part of the whole thing was the chicks who were working were like these, they were tiny and they were holding like six steins in each hand.
It'll be like 10 Ks in each hand.
I was struggling to lift my one.
Just the glass alone, even without the liquid, is like so fucking heavy and they've got them like, pyramided up on each hand.
I would have paid just to watch them lift them around. Like, I was like, ignore this Oompa band. What is going on over here?
They were truly beautiful ladies. it was pretty sick. The only thing I really thought about Dachau was like, it is fucked that it's like, it was just treated as another tourist destination. Like, oh, yeah, you've got to see the Glockenspiel clock at the fucking Munich thing. And then also you just got to take a Dachau and, like, fully take in.
Get dashed.
Yeah.
That's where everyone got dashed.
We have an hour and a half to sort of.
Don't make me press the button.
No.
We have an hour and a half you got an hour and a half in between tourist stops to take in, you know, the full potential evil that is within humanity. Yeah, and then you got to just kind of get back to the pub.
It is a bit much.
Yeah.
Did you go to the Palace of Versailles?
I did. I forgot I even fucking did that. I did because I wanted to impress chicks that had seen Marie Antoinette. All the girls I knew at the time were super into the film Marie Antoinette.
Yeah.
And
how's your friend taking all of this?
She's kind of just along for the ride, I think. She's pretty down with the drinking and the weed and the stuff. She did think it was weird. I went to a strip club with my dad in Munich, and she thought that was just that not being in the strip club was odd, but the dynamic of being with a father-son duo in a strip club was probably a bit much for her. Like, it was weird enough for us, but probably for her, probably a bit much.
Did you go to the sex show with your parents and your family? No. Didn't you go to a sex show in Amsterdam?
No, he watched his parents have sex in Amsterdam.
With my friend.
Yeah, no, that's what I was asking. I didn't know if you went with your, because I'm like,
No, I mean, but like, obviously, like, when I, like, my uncle took me to the red light district in The Hague and was just like, Here are women. But that's like a thing like you do even when you're younger. It's like you go through and it's like, like you know about it. You're not like bashful or anything, I guess.
One of the sites my dad did demand I go see and like hurry me along, it was just one of one he couldn't do at 6 a.m. I think at like one night, it was like after, he's like, okay, now it's time to go see the red light district. You have to go see it and like push me through. And it's like, yep, you could have sex with any of these women in exchange for money. And
like,
I was like, I know. Like,
kind of genuinely impressive how like many rooms there are with like, you know, just clear doors with like people standing in there and they rotate in and out. And it's like a lot per cubic square inch because Amsterdam is a small city, geographically.
Right. Yeah. And so, I mean, I've obviously never been, but like it's not, is the red light district a touristy thing?
Yes.
Or is it?
Yeah.
So it's, but it is a full on.
Oh,
You know what I mean? There's not like some other place where actual people.
No, I was being solicited while I was in. Right. Like, it was like constant, hey, come in here and have sex with me.
There's a smaller version of the red light district in The Hague that's like the exact same thing, but just smaller scale. But yes, it is. You know, you will find like the pubs there will generally be a little more expensive and more touristy and stuff. Like, it'll cater for tourists in terms of like knowing how to make a buck, but it is also.
Yeah. Did you get no pickpocketed, Hastings? No.
A few close calls. No pickpocketing. I had a few people in Paris. Paris was the worst for it. I had multiple different like old ladies try the like, oh, you dropped your rings. You know, the you dropped your ring scam.
Yeah.
Buy the ring off them. Mm. I had multiple people try that on me, but I was clued up to that. I was watching my my wallet pretty closely on the trains.
On the train wallet as
well. Yeah.
Your
biggest
Jack Skellington wallet.
Yeah. Well, the problem with the chain wallet is the chain is so long that they're still able to just take it and use it while it's still attached to my pants.
There's too many people just taking your Emily the Strange backpack off you.
It was also winter. It was like February when I did this. So it's it's like I was the cold. Well, all this is happening. I'm the coldest I've ever been in my life. Yeah. I've never experienced cold like that.
Yeah, it is fucking freezing.
Sydney's warm as hell.
Yeah, I wouldn't go to Europe in the fucking winter. That would suck.
England was kind of interesting too. Unless, do you want me to have more on Europe?
Do you know? You do whatever you want.
Yeah. Europe, England was pretty interesting because, like, I was pretty sick of the tourist stuff pretty quick. And so, like, I stopped wanting to travel, doing like that nearly hour trip into London.
Mm.
So within like a week or two, I was like, what's there to do in Essex? Like, just to avoid this train trip. So I spent heaps of time just hanging out in Essex.
Mm.
Essex is a shithole, but it's kind of awesome. Yeah. Like,
have you seen the show? What is it called?
Only Way. Essex? Only Way is Essex.
Only Way is Essex,
Is that a real show?
It's like a
reality show. Yeah. It's
like a Geordie Shore type deal.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. And it tracks or?
Yeah, the part I was in was a bit quieter. But yeah, like I went to an Essex nightclub, a couple different Essex nightclubs. And like, it was like that. I went like, did like the £1 shots with like the big fake tan. Like it was, they're
a lot of short skirts and fake tan.
Absolutely. Like a lot of that. And yeah, it was like that. Essex was pretty sick. I ended up going to like this house party in Essex. So it was like friends of my dad or something. But it was like, that was pretty fun. It was all just like very... It was nice to like not go to fucking Piccadilly Circus. Like I was like, oh, I'm just having like a normal conversation with someone rather than like, oh, cool, it's another, you know, Monopoly board thing or whatever.
Yeah.
I say every time I saw a street on there.
Monopoly board. And,
Trafalgar Square. I was like, yeah, cool. I know this from the game.
So what was your dad? Was he working in the UK?
So he's a teacher. He took all the time we were in Europe off. I think he took half the time we were in England off. But yeah, like he was going to work and I was like,
he's got local teacher mates and stuff like
that. Yeah, so we were drinking with his mates or whatever. So some of them were like closer to my age than his age as well. Like it was, you know, teachers can be pretty young.
Mm.
But yeah, like going into London was crazy. I remember just hating the food as well a lot. I thought like British food was terrible. And I thought that...
I like British food, but obviously I am British, so...
Yeah, and you like food a lot.
Yeah, exactly. So, and, like, it's pretty good. Like, but, like, nowadays, like, when did you go again? Like,
2010?
Yeah, so, I mean, everything's kind of improved. Like, I remember, like, moving here and, like, you know, like, the height of cuisine is, like, when everyone got obsessed with, like, wood fire pizza.
That sucks.
And now, you know, like, there's some of, like, the best Asian food, like, around.
Mm.
And
loved, full English breakfast, and then I'd have a pub roast for lunch, and then I'd have another pub roast for dinner.
Yeah, you're like a chair out of your ass.
It's like Hastings with hot dogs. It's you with fucking pub roast.
I mean, that, like, a British fry-up, like, after, like, having a few beers is, like, godly.
Mm.
I think British takeaway food sucks. Like, not Indian, obviously. Like
Indian takeaway is great.
I mean, like, British takeaway.
I did get Indian and it was great. I made a point to go check out.
It'll be the same way, like, you know how Australians get real weird about coffee in the United States? They get real weird about, like, British fish and chips because, you know, there's not, like,
as
much of a natural, like, beauty with, like, the seafood market and the batter's really heavy and stuff.
Yeah. That's...
I think it rocks.
But the pub food is...
Yeah, I mean, pub food is like, I mean, some British pubs are like Michelin starred, like outside of London. Like,
yeah.
They serve incredible food.
Yeah. I wasn't eating there, though.
Yeah. Well, did you go to any of like the Australian hotspot pubs? Because I know we had Tommy Orr on and they're like
Temple Bar.
Yeah, but there's also like a whole like franchises of it, like Walkabout, it's called.
Yeah.
There are Australian themed pubs that had Australian themed nights where like it seemed like the filthiest of the filthmongers went.
I didn't go to any like Australian themed pub, but I went to like the Australian backpacker bars a couple times. More again, just said he was like, you've got to just see it. Like he took me to just like, you've got to. He's very like that.
Because
like,
your time there would have intersected with Tommy Orr's. Like imagine if you two just ripping it up on two separate like, you know.
Yeah, he's a bit older than me, isn't he?
Yeah, but I think like his time there because he was working at hotels and stuff.
That'd be funny. Yeah, me and Tommy all crossed paths without us knowing.
It'd be cool if Tommy had the same haircut as you at the time.
Just feeling a little emo.
Got the snake bites in.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, it was pretty. I remember like I went to I thought the like London nightlife was like Sydney sucks. Like not like being like going out in London at night. Like the nights I went out sort of without my dad.
Yeah.
More different to Essex than it is to Sydney. Like, it was like, oh, this is cool. Like, I went to a big, like, NME night, and, like, Art vs. Science was playing for, like, £5 or whatever. Like, it was, like, pretty sick.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you get any fights with your dad? Any dramas?
Yeah, he's really clean. There was at-home fights.
So it was the odd couple.
Yeah. We would like fight about dishes, which is also, that's the only time I've ever lived with my dad was that month. I never grew up at all living with my dad, like never in my life. So that's the only time we've ever had to like, yeah, share a space for more than like one or two nights. And yeah, we were fighting about the dishes and like he likes to eat dinner really early and like just like weird like married couple shit, yeah. It's weird having to like adjust to living with a parent the way you would adjust to like living with a partner or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, one you've never
had. It's like, oh no, he likes the garbage to be taken out at this time or whatever. Yeah.
Whereas you just leave it.
Well, it's someone else will handle it.
Oh my God. But that's unbelievable.
I got a couple of stories that I found from Eurotrip, and this one X-ray reveals drunk tourist sleeping on baggage belt at Rome airport. A Norwegian tourist has been caught on X-ray sleeping on a moving baggage belt at Rome's Fiumicino airport. The unnamed 36-year-old man reportedly climbed over one of the check-in desks and fell asleep on the belt that takes luggage to be loaded onto planes. When the belt started moving, he traveled for around 50 meters curled up in the fetal position. He apparently remained asleep after staff spotted him in the X-ray machine, stopped the belt, and alerted police. The tourist, who appeared to have been drinking heavily, will now face charges in relation to the incident. The incident has raised questions about security at the airport, but a police spokesperson told the paper that the man could not have got through to the security areas of the airport. There is a security system, a sort of roll-up blind, which can only be opened by the member of staff who loads the baggage. The Norwegian man could have carried on going around the main belt, but he could never have ended up in sensitive areas of the airport. Which seems like a bit of a cover for, like, he absolutely could have fallen asleep and then piloted the plane.
You can do, like, being super drunk and having mischief on your mind, you can get into anywhere.
Have you guys ever had an issue with your luggage? It being missing or anything like that?
Yes.
No. You have? No.
Yes.
Well, tell us your...
Like, oh, mine's very boring. Yeah, like, it was just like missing? It went missing for like days. Yeah.
That sucks. I was when me and Sabs were flying somewhere and we landed and she got her luggage and mine hadn't come out. And then I'm standing there for ages. And then, oh, that looks like mine. So I go over and pick it up and look at the tag on, because I had a very just nondescript grey suitcase. Yeah. And the name, it says Bo. And I'm like, fuck, it's Bo. Some cunts, you know, whatever. Yeah. Let it go around. It goes around five more times. And then everyone's got their shit and it's the only one left. And I'm like, fuck, this Bo dude has grabbed mine and taken it without thinking. He hasn't looked at the ticket. Now I've got this Bo guy's thing. And I think we're in Hawaii or whatever. And it's probably about 20 minutes we're sitting there. I'm like, I don't know who to talk to. There was no one around. And I go and have another look at it and it's Barbo Skirla. On the thing was Sansa's last name and she's checked it in and my luggage under her ticket.
So
and
you're fuming about
literally,
a guy named
I'm
Bo.
Like, this Bo's going to get it. No point do I fully open the
ticket.
I'll
tell you what, Sabs.
Oh, I was so fuming. But that's like the worst fucking... I don't know how you dealt with that because I was like panicking like all my shit's gone or what's going on.
Yeah, we had us when... Our luggage got lost three times on our honeymoon, like, and it was brutal every single time. Like, one was, like, had, like, wedding stuff on it on the way to the wedding. The other was just at the start of the honeymoon. And then the other was, like, because you pack for, like, 5 weeks. It was everything we owned. So when we got back, it was, like, it didn't get found for 5 days. And yet they were, like, we don't know if it's here. And we're, like, we've got air tags on it. I could see it. It's there. And they're just, like, is it though? You know, like, can you just take a look? And they're like, nah.
That sucks. It's so... I don't know how they can loot. Like, I don't know how it gets lost. I can understand
then,
sometimes,
like,
they put it on the
wrong
plane.
You go to Qantas and you really have a go. And they're like, we'll give you 17,000 Qantas points. And you're like, ooh. And then, like, that'll get you $5 off your next flight.
I was in Wodonga for work just like a couple weeks ago, and I think the new a dream job of mine is to work at like a rural airport now, I think. Cause I was looking at them, it was crazy. I so different how like a big airport works, where like they don't open the gate at, like, they don't open security till an hour before the flight. There's only a flight every 3 hours. There's just like one flight every 3 hours. They just open it half an hour to go through. You can like bring food in. I was going in and out to get like water and food and shit. It was just one security guy scanning 20 people.
He's just a haster. Welcome back, brother.
They're just coming in.
Too worried about terrorists bombing a Wodonga flight.
Yeah, exactly. You know? But it was like, it seemed like for every flight, so every 3 hours, the airport just turned on for an hour got everyone their flight, and then I guess it just turns back off. Like, they just seemed like they were just sitting around for hours in between.
That would be pretty chill.
And then when there was a flight, it was just 20. It was, come through. No one was in a rush. No one was like, aisle. It just seemed like everyone there was just having the cruisiest fucking day.
Yeah, I had a similar thing at the Dubbo airport where it was just like, I don't think I'd been to an airport that small ever.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, there's probably no bar. And then I get in and it's
totally is a bar.
I get in and it's just like, it looks like it's straight out of the 70s. And I was like, fuck, yes. There's one dude behind the bar and just like sat there pounding beers.
That rules.
It's like those 80s where the captain's sitting there. You know?
Yeah, Avalon gets a lot of shit for being a shitty airport. And it should have a bar. Like, that would make it Avalon so much more palatable.
Mm,
a decent bar in there.
Because sometimes it is, like, if you're not in a rush, saving $150 on the flight is worth the extra hour of travel. Sometimes that is worth it. Not every time, but sometimes. A bar would really make it seem like you weren't out in, like... It's the feeling of Avalon Airport is me like, oh, a mistake has happened. Something's gone wrong.
Yeah. Well, it's when you search Melbourne, Sydney to Melbourne, it just... assumes you mean like it's not in Melbourne, it's in fucking Geelong.
But every time I've done it on purpose to like save money, it's like I've gotten there. I've been like, every time, I'm like, I shouldn't have done this. This was insane.
Oh, it's the same thing whenever I fucking book flights overseas, and it's like, you know, it's like, oh, this has a 14-hour stopover, but it's the cheapest one, you know, or I could do a 3-hour stopover and all, but it's $30 more. Let's save money. And then on that day, you would pay $300 to save 10 hours in the shitty airport.
There's
no way you
And then you also just get obliterated in the airport bar paying $26 for a schooner. So you're just like, ah, there goes the $300.
Did you have any language issues over there? Because where did you go? Germany?
Germany, France, Belgium, and the Netherlands and England. Yeah, a little bit. Mostly in like, I know it's a cliche, but mostly in France. Like, people were, like, kind of cunty about it. What was cool was Germany was super easy. Like, people spoke pretty good English. But also, like, I failed year 11 German. Like, I was told to drop German. I did it by correspondence, like, because I thought it would be easy and peace. Turns out it's really hard. I failed it. They told me not to do it again, waste a bunch of my parents' money. So I knew like literally 10 words.
You just failed. You didn't have to like delay the boot. You're wasting your parents' money.
Taxpayer dollars.
I was pretty aware of it. Well, yeah, no, because it was like, they paid extra for me to do it. It was like a correspondence thing. But yeah, so I knew like 10 German words badly. Crazy how much that helps. Like just like, yes, no, please, thank you. That means street, that means town, that means whatever. Like getting around was all right. But just, yeah, I know it's a cliche. French people are fucking cunts about it.
Yeah.
I got like fully, this woman in, we were staying just slightly outside of Paris, like in just like a suburb. And like as soon as we were out of the CBD, it was like this woman in this bakery literally laughing in my face because I couldn't speak French. I was like, just like, I want that thing.
Hang on, hot dog. I saw this a very silly article, but a tourist sparked a bomb alert at a Lisbon, Portugal restaurant when he confused the Portuguese word for pomegranate for the Portuguese word for grenade. So a 36-year-old man, Russian speaker from Azerbaijan. So he basically what he did was he wanted some pomegranate cocktail and or pomegranate juice or whatever, and he pulled out his app. And the Russian word for pomegranate and grenade is the same thing. It's like
that makes sense.
Grenade, like grenadine, grenade. It's all the same, whatever. It looks like a grenade. I think like it's all based on, but Portugal has two separate words. So he basically... didn't say this. He got out his translation thing and just went and just showed them. It just said, grenade. Fucking anti-terrorism unit flew in, grabbed him, arrested him, like pinned him to the ground outside, cuffed him, and raided his hotel, went through all his stuff before they figured out
what he would have been standing there like, man, this cocktail's taking a while. Meanwhile, there's like fucking chopper landing, special forces.
I'd like to order the Black Ops cocktail. And, you can only drink it in a CIA black side. Yeah.
The Molotov cocktail.
Yeah, No, I'm not learning. We're going to Portugal in June. I'm not learning a single word.
Portugal? Yeah, Portugal's great.
And Italy.
But if you learn Portuguese, you can go to Brazil.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's true.
It's very similar to Spanish. Sab knows Spanish, so I'm just going to make her do everything like that, you know. But I think, like, in France, it's like you just, if you know a few things, they appreciate it, and then they speak
English. That's what it was like in the city. That's what I found. They just, like, a little mercy. They gave me the time. It was like they fully would, like, they were pretending they didn't know what I was trying to say. Like, they were like, like, we deliberately not speak. I'm sure that woman knew how to speak English.
Yes. That sucks.
Yeah.
Jamie boy, anything else? Or should we?
Well, yeah, you said Belgium.
Oh yeah, Belgium is pretty sick. The only we were there for a day. That was a quick one. I quite liked it. What was just very, again, my dad being a bit of a fucking psycho. The day before, he was like, "You've seen the movie. We're going to Bruges."
Right?
Yeah, he was like, "You've seen the movie in Bruges, right?" And I was like, "No." And he was like, "Oh, that's why we're going. What the fuck?" So he made me watch In Bruges, and then the entire day was in the same way with the exact same. Determination and the same purpose, like the same deliberateness of it all as he was going, this is the Eiffel Tower, this is the Louvre, the Arc de Triomphe, whatever. He's like, this is the bit himself. Where the guy dies at the end and these are the cobblestones where they say it's like a fucking fairy tale and this is the fucking bridge where... And I was like, I hadn't seen this movie till yesterday. I don't care, like... It's a great movie, but it's like he's showing... It would be like... It's not like showing me the Millennium Falcon from Star Wars. It's like, I saw this movie yesterday. This is all new information. It hasn't got any like cultural... significance to me.
Yeah. It's like going to New York and being like, this is where the Ghostbusters killed this and this. You know, there's other things. There's a reason.
But also, if I see
the Statue of Liberty behind you and they're like, this is where Slimer went through the
If you were doing that, but you'd only seen Ghostbusters for the first time the day before, I guess that's where Slimer did that. Like, who's Slimer again? Like, it's more like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was also Belgian beer. It was fucking heavy. Like, it rules.
I fuck with Belgian beer.
I fuck with Belgian beer.
That's when Ardennes table beer. That's Ardennes.
I'm talking about the big heavy.
But I mean,
Duvel or whatever.
Germany,
I mean, Belgian people can make a table beer that it does not taste like warm piss strained through a dish rag. Sorry, Staves Brewery.
Do you want to give anyone any context or why you're just shitting on an arbitrary table beer?
We've shit on Staves a number of times.
Fuck those guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like lagery like the German beer.
Well, I mean,
right?
Also, like Stella Artois was invented in Belgium.
So it just sounds like you're doing a beer tour of Europe, which is probably not a bad
thing. Yeah, it was great. It was also, I didn't know until I went that in England, Stella is like the working class beer, and they say the formaldehyde in it makes you beat your wife. That was the rumor
hearing. It's called wife beater, like colloquially.
Which is so weird because it's in the most poncy glass in Australia that they serve.
Well,
it's served
in that in England.
It's like in this little goblety thing. Wife beater.
But also, even like Heineken's supposed to be a nice, like at least in 20, now we've got like actual craft beer. But in 2010, it was like any green bottle imported beer, like a Beck's or a Heineken or a Stella, was like, you're a fancy boy.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
In these respective countries, it's like, this is...
Well, I think England's kind of opposite, right? Because like where we would have our cheap domestic beer and then like the imported stuff is a bit more... Shit, like stuff like Amstel and stuff is your standard. And then a British beer is the thing with the lever.
That's
like room temperature and creamy.
Barely carbonated. Yeah.
Castle Brown or something like that. Yeah, right. And that's classier.
Yeah, I guess.
It's more, like, I took it more as like just like an old bloke at the pub thing than a fancy thing.
It's more of an old mate thing.
I love those ones where they got to like pump the ale out a bunch and it's
they got me pretty fucked up.
Yeah. My newsflash, like all beer will make people violent if they're violent.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I'm trying to think of a question for the ending. I'm thinking of, all right, so you and your dad, you've got an itinerary for all of Europe. Traveling around is no issue. You have to wake up at 6 a.m.
Yeah, okay.
You have to do the tourist stuff.
Yeah.
And then the fun stuff. You can pick and choose from each country. What do you do?
All right. So I wake up in the morning. I'm in an Amsterdam car park.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The hot dog vendors are opening for the day.
I'm getting high as hell.
This kid's putting my children through college.
I grab a hot dog. I get in a helicopter. We fly to Auschwitz. What's the most inappropriate?
Guys,
comedy's really
So you can just like...
I can manage to do my fingers. Yeah. I thought it was... I would like to go back and see the Louvre. I regret kind of not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had to do it, it was, 6 a.m. I guess it would be... I found all the tourist shit so fucking boring. Does any country have a good sex museum?
Oh, that's a good question.
What's the horniest country?
Good question.
Damn, what is the horniest country?
Love making horny would be like Spain or Italy.
Italy.
Yeah.
Horny as in kinky, weird sex museum style.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you probably wouldn't want to go into like Eastern Bloc.
Yeah,
like,
I'm not doing Eastern European sex tourism. Yeah, that's not what I'm describing. No, yeah. I'd take. I'd. I'd only the finest sex workers in Rome for me.
Yeah, right.
No, I don't know.
You never went to Italy, right?
Never went to Italy. I would like to. I would like to give it a go. For some reason, I think because it was all like history based, I knew it would get too history-ish, and because he's a history teacher, yeah. I was like, let's just go somewhere where it's about booze. And
well, here's a question to end: would you, in the year 2024, do this with your dad again?
He's paying for half of it.
The other day,
and your mum's paying the other half.
The other day, he did drunkenly pitch doing a Japanese trip together.
That's great.
It is like the Hangover 2 franchise expansion.
Because you can just steal all their beer vouchers, the entire population.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I would do it again, but maybe a different set of cities. It would have to be the sequel, not a repeat. Yeah, okay. Not a remake.
And would you impose any, like, hey, man, it's no longer 6 a.m. wake-ups? Or
He would refuse. Like, that's just his personality. There's no arguing with him.
I've got a question for you, Hastings. All right, you're a bit of a Lothario over the years.
Not so much these days, but
let's say someone knocks on the door and it's like, hi, I'm your son. I'm 18 years old. 18 years ago, you had sex somewhere. And then you've got this son to raise, little Hastings Jr.
Hastings Jr., pack your bags, baby. Yeah, We're going on your trip, brother.
Would you take him? Would you?
What would be funny is if my 18-year-old son, he was making me get up at 6 a.m. to go to the pub. Yeah. I'm like, no, we should sleep until noon and go to the pub.
Or your little brother or someone, would you as a father?
Probably, to someone like that. Yeah, I could see myself taking an open mic comedian abroad. I could see Jackson Stewart on the road, baby. Yeah. I would definitely do that. That'd be great. My next big trip, I want to be Japan. That's the big thing I want to do. Yeah.
And does that mean your dad has automatically moved his way up the pecking order as your number one travel companion?
If he's willing to pay for some of it, absolutely.
See your wife. Dad's on, back Papa. On the scene.
Well, yeah, she did. Weirdly, my wife doesn't want her to do a trip to Japan. She wants to do a trip to China at some point because she's Chinese. Going to China sounds like such a culture shock, though. Sounds like it would be wild.
I've only been there once and... Like, the fact that Google is banned instantly ruins your
life. Oh, yeah, of course.
Because you just can't search for things you want to do.
Yeah.
And I assume it's Japan as well, but the script being different means, like, if you're in Portugal, you don't know that word, you know the letters of the fucking word.
So you know how to type it
in. You know how to type it in, and it pops up, and it goes, oh, that's what it is. But I don't know what this little character is, right? Yeah, so you just... Obviously, different cities are probably more catering to, like, Shanghai, I think, is pretty English-friendly. And I don't know if Japan has
Tokyo
the same problems.
Very English-friendly.
So,
like,
you know.
She's talking, yeah, it's Wonderland for boys like me. But I think if we were to do China, it would have to be with, like, a Chinese relative who speaks, like, Mandarin or whatever. But it's also, like, I don't know, man. I'm willing to, like, eat a little bit of meat if I'm going to, like, Japan and, like, you know, whatever. But the idea of going, like, straight in headfirst into, like, native Chinese, like, you know. They're really eating those animals. They're really.
We saw what happened 4 years ago.
All right. So the capper of the trilogy, Emmett, dad, you, 18-year-old son, all three generations going on a trip.
Yeah.
What's the ultimate destination?
Amsterdam Red Light District.
Epstein's Island.
Little St. Hastings. No, I don't know. Yeah, probably. I mean, just three white boys on the road. It's still, I think, got to be Japan. I think it's got to be, you know.
Yeah, that's fair.
Three white boys on the road. Let's check out some fucking onsens.
All right, Hastings, plug your show.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, I forgot I'm a comedian. I am doing the Sydney Comedy Festival the 1st and 3rd of May at the Factory Theatre. I'm doing my show, Andrew Deficit Hastings Disorder.
Great name, by the way.
Thank you. The show's very good. It got really good reviews in Adelaide. The feedback's been really positive. Sorry, I'm choking on my own lies here. No, it's true. It's actually got 2 4-star reviews in Adelaide. It's been fucking sick. People seem to be really enjoying it. It's about like
out of 10.
Yeah. It's a solid 2-star review by the regular scale. But it's about ADHD, but like I'm not annoying about it. Yep. It's like not like a whingy show at all. It's like a fun, silly, loose show, but it's all about ADHD stuff.
You're not asking for it to be put on the, you know what I mean, some sort of thing where you get government grants for...
No.
You don't want disabled parking spots.
No, exactly. Yeah, it's all pretty chill and it's just about how... It's not even really about me. It's just about like the idea of it. It should be fun. It's going to be great.
The dates
are the 1st and 3rd of May, and it's at the Factory Theatre, Andrew Deficit Hastings Disorder. Grab tickets at the Sydney Comedy Festival.
And your comedy empire.
Oh, yeah, Kelly's on King is probably the main one to plug these days. Just Kelly's on King, Wednesday nights at It's called Joke Off Comedy. Fuck. It's called Joke Off Comedy at Kelly's on King Wednesday nights in Newtown. Just different. At the moment, we're just doing regular showcase shows. So we have like, you know, real red hot lineups, some of the best comics in Sydney. Your boy Alex is on there pretty regularly. Yeah. A lot of community notice board guests getting up all the time. Yeah, so if you're a fan of the show, come check it out. You're bound to see someone you love.
And Al, when does your Melbourne run finish?
My Melbourne run finishes on the 20th of April. So I think this will come out this week. This has come out
on the 15th.
So I've got five more shows if you're listening to this. Come on down, send a friend, whatever. I'm sure they've been fun. And then also I'm doing, like Hastos, end of the month though, I'm doing Sydney Comedy Fest 18th and 19th of May. So buy tickets for that as well. And Jamie, what else do we have?
We have a Patreon, $5 a month gets you two bonus episodes a month. And each week we get closer to the oyster challenge. Jack Wright thinks he can eat 60 oysters in 60 minutes. Actually, he thinks he can eat 110 minutes. we are buying oysters. We're going to get him to do it. Alex has interviewed the leading competitive eater in Australia who has some things to say about Jack's outlandish plan.
And tricks. It's very fun. It's going to be great. We're going to do that. So sign up to Patreon. That'll come out in a couple of weeks, right?
Yep. Yeah, probably like three or four.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Awesome. Right. Thanks, we'll see you next week. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Love you.
Nice.